Matthew chapter 10 defined thought in the Word of God one time is a great thing, but to find it again and again and again is something that must make us give it great consideration. So let's look at it. This thought of profit and loss. Matthew chapter 10. Verse 39. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Now chapter 16. Verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man would come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever would save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. Mark chapter 8, verse 34. And he called unto him the multitude with his disciples and said unto them, If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever would save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Luke 9, verse 23. And he said unto all, If any man would come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whosoever would save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Chapter 17. Verse 32. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to gain his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life shall keep it, preserve it, gain it. And let's look at one more in John chapter 12, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a grain of wheat fall into the earth and die, it abideth by itself alone. But if it die, it beareth much fruit. He that loveth his life loseth it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are so thankful that you sent your Son from heaven to tell us such wonderful things. Let us know that some of the things he speaks to us comfort our hearts. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And some of the things that he tells us startle us, and some of the things that he speaks makes us search our souls. We thank you for the weight in the words of thy Son, the Lord Jesus. And we pray that we shall understand, since he said this same thing in a variety of ways again and again. Let us know something about profit and loss. Let us know something about this life and the next. Our God, may all of these warnings that your Son gave us not be in vain. We thank you for every blessing that is ours. And our Father, we would acknowledge that you are the giver of every good and perfect gift. They come down from above. And so, Father, receive our thanks for this, that we're here this morning, that we're able to be here, that we can have the Word of God read and expounded. So bless us to that end. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Last week the message was, what shall we have? That was the noble question that Peter asked when a young ruler was invited by the Lord Jesus to follow him, and he refused. I want you to think of certain examples now. The example of that rich young ruler who had great possessions, and he asked the Lord, what must he do to have eternal life? And the Savior told him, and he spoke about having treasure in heaven. He had treasure on earth, but the Savior spoke about his having treasure in heaven. But evidently, he desired to keep the treasures that he had on earth rather than sacrifice them for the glory of Christ and for the gospel's sake, to have treasure in heaven. And the Lord allowed him to make that choice. What if God were one who, if you had treasure and he wanted it, would come and take it away from you? What would you think of God? Well, someday you're going to think harshly against God and probably will criticize him because the treasure that you have is kept to your own destruction, and you will say to God in heaven, why did you not take it away from me? Have you ever considered such a thing? And some who have had such good fortune on earth, health, life, abundance, you've had all of those things, and you've never thought about God. Why should you think about God? Why should you pray to God? You have health. Why should you ask God for wealth? You have wealth. Why should you take God into your consideration? And you go through life, and you die, and then you stand before God, lost, and you'll say to God, why did you not make me sick, and why did you not take away the possessions of earth? For this simple reason, God does not take anything away from you. He asks, and he requests, and if you refuse, then he lets you have your way. And that is why Christ told us all these times, think, twice in Matthew, once in Mark, twice in Luke, once in John. If I ask what miracle occurs in all four Gospels, you could say the feeding of the 5,000, but there's only one that occurs in all the Gospels. And if I ask you, what saying of Christ appears in every Gospel, you could say, why, the saying of Christ when he said, he that saveth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall save it. You realize that if you were reading in the Gospels and you wanted to read about the Lord's Supper and you happened to turn to the Gospel of John, you would not find it there. If you had turned to Matthew, Mark, or Luke, you would. But if you turn to John, you find them in the upper room, but there's nothing said there about the Lord's Supper. You say, well, I would have missed it. And in like manner, if you wanted to read about the resurrection of Lazarus, you would look in Matthew, Mark, and Luke and never find it. But you would find it only in John's Gospel. But if you wanted to be sure that God would warn you about the danger of being a worldling whose roots are in this world, you say, what gospel would I find it in? It makes no difference what gospel you would read. If you read in Luke and John, you would find it once. If you read in Matthew and Luke, you would find it two times in those gospels. So think of what God has done. He has made it impossible for you to read through the gospels without finding out at least one time, and in some, again and again, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? So think of the importance of this when God has so much to tell us, and all of it is put in a small book, and some things that we want to know he does not tell us, and other things that we want to know he tells us once, but some things we would not want to know he tells us six times. Think of that. Who wants to think about losing life? Who wants to think about getting rid of all that you've labored your whole life long to get in possession of? Who wants to think about giving up those things for the glory of Christ? But the Savior is determined that you know about these things and the danger of those things. And so, having read those six portions, he also puts it this way. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What is the profit of that? Gaining the whole world and losing your own soul. You say there's no profit in that. And yet most of men are doing that very thing. They are seeking to gain the whole world, and yet at the sacrifice of losing their own soul. And then he puts you on the other side. Having done that, having sacrificed your soul to gain the whole world, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? If Satan was once able to get your soul from you by offering you material things, and then he got your soul, and you discovered the mistake you had made, and you said to Satan, I don't want them anymore, I'll give them back to you, you give me your soul, he would laugh at you. He would say, no, I know the value of your soul, and you did not know the value of your soul. I'm not going to exchange what you gave me for your soul. Isn't that a remarkable thing? That demons and Satan know the important things in life, and they are prepared to get rid of them for something more valuable than all the world. What do you think Satan offered the Lord Jesus when he tempted him in the wilderness? You say, why, he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them in a moment of time. And he said, I'll give you everything that you've seen if you'll fall down and worship me. He is the only one who ever had the whole world offered to him. Do you realize that? Only Christ. And Christ saw the whole world offered to him by Satan, and he said, get thee hence, Satan. It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And so Christ had an opportunity to gain the whole world. Now think. He had an opportunity to gain the whole world then, because God had given into Satan's hand. They're not Satan's naturally, but God gives certain power to Satan, and they were his to give to whom he would. You'll find in a coming day there is going to be an antichrist, a beast that arises, and Satan is going to offer him everything that Christ did, and he will accept it. But Christ, having been offered it, he refused it. Why? Because he understood the value of life and what was the most important thing in life. And it came up again and again. This is the way Christ puts it in a parable. He said, except a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth by itself alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. What does that mean? When Christ said, Father, if it be possible, take this cup from me, nevertheless not my will but thine be done, what did he mean? It meant that here is life and what it held for Christ if he drank that cup. And he said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. And he understood about life and the salvation of man. And he said, I am that grain of wheat. He said, if I do not fall into the ground and die, I'm going to abide by myself alone. But if I do die, I shall bring forth much fruit. You see how Christ is thinking over life? He's thinking over what Satan offers him. And he says, there's something worth more than all the world. And Christ knew the value of your soul. He knew the value enough to shed his precious blood to redeem your soul. But you have not the understanding about the value of your own soul, because Satan has you in his possession, not for the whole world, but for a handful of trinkets. I'm thinking of Judas Iscariot and the thing of value that he had in his possession, and he bartered it off for 30 pieces of silver. Have you ever seen a program where they bring out articles? It may be a picture, it may be a piece of furniture, it may be a piece of jewelry, and they show it to the experts. And the experts look at this, and they say, why, that's worth $50,000. And you say, what? You thought you had nothing of value. But the experts know it's worth $50,000. Now, here is Judas Iscariot, and he has in his hand the power, because God gave him that power, to betray Jesus Christ for a certain amount of money. And this is what is so humiliating. This is what exposes Judas Iscariot as an avaricious fool. All he could get for the precious Son of God was 30 pieces of silver. And so what did Satan give him? Why, the world, 30 pieces of silver. And so what has Satan offered you? Why? Your life isn't God's. You haven't turned your life over to God. You're keeping it for yourself. And it would be a wise thing if keeping your life for yourself were going to be yours forever. But I'm going to answer the question now that Peter asked. Lord, we have forsaken all and followed you. What shall we have? And the Lord told him what his gain would be for sacrificing everything for Christ. Now, I'm going to tell you an answer as to what you shall have if you do not sacrifice your life for Christ. Understand, the Bible talks about he that findeth his life shall lose it. He that saveth his life shall lose it. He that loveth his life shall lose it. Notice those words. Here is a person, and he is searching, and he wants to find out what life is. And then, having found out what life is, he wants to save it, and having fallen into a mold, he loves life, and that is what satisfies his heart. And so, it would be good, and I would congratulate you, if the life that you love and the possessions that are yours, you could keep them forever and you would love them forever. But all of this is temporary. How long did Judas Iscariot keep those 30 pieces of silver? You say he kept them for just a brief period of time, and then he came and tried to give them back, to those murderers that paid him the 30 pieces of silver. They said, we don't want it back. You see, he had sold his soul, and he couldn't exchange again. He said, take it back. But he could not reverse things. So how long did he keep the 30 pieces of silver? Ever so short a time. Now, in like manner, here is a man who, in the goodness of God, has a farm, and he plants, and the crop is exceptional. And it's so great that he says, I'm going to tear down my old barns that were small, and I'm going to build great barns, and sow everything I have in those barns. And I shall say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods. Take thine ease, eat, drink, be merry, enjoy life. And that's a good philosophy. If you are able to do it. But God said to him, you fool. He said, tonight your soul is required of you. Isn't that a sad thing? To work your whole life long, get your farm so that it produces an abundance. And when it does produce an abundance, and now you're planning for how you're going to enjoy the abundance of your farm. And the Lord says, I'm sorry, but I'm taking it back now. It's not yours any longer. Isn't that embarrassing? So I tell you this, that God tells us about two lives. He tells us about life now and life in the world to come. This is what he says in 1 Timothy chapter 4. He tells us about the life that now is and the life that is to come. But most people can only see the life that now is. What shall we have? They want to know what we shall have in this life. It's fine. But the sad thing is this, that God says, I've told you about this life, and I've told you about the next life. You have to take them both in consideration. But most men say, I'll only take this life into consideration. But the Bible says that the Christian who has obeyed the Lord Jesus Christ has promise of this life and the life to come. But those who do not take Christ as Savior have promise of this life and only as much of this life as God gives you the ability and the time to enjoy. How many of you know that you'll be alive tomorrow? That fool thought he was going to be alive tomorrow, but God said, this night. And what happens is this, that when God says, it's time for you to come, there's nothing that you can do about it. And so all your possessions are going to terminate at that time. And God says, who shall they be? And the only thing that you can think about is this. And it mentions it in the Old Testament. He said, here is a king. And in his wisdom, he's built up his kingdom and riches. And he says to himself, oh, if I only had a wise son to leave it to. Do you see what he's confessed? That he's only going to have it in this life. And he wants to leave it to somebody else. Why? Because he cannot take it with him. It says this, we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can take nothing out. And Job said this, naked came I into the world, and naked shall I return thither. He came out of his mother's womb naked. And then there is the womb that is the tomb, and he says, naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. But the Savior says this. He speaks about this life, and then he speaks about the next life. He says, if you sacrifice everything for me, you shall have treasure in heaven. You can take it with you, but you do not take it with you. You send it on ahead by the life you live down here. And that's the only way to have treasure, is to send it ahead by giving it to God in this life. Now, listen to this. The Lord Jesus talks about people that love life. Here is a man that's religious, and he loves life. he's going to give money. And so he blows a trumpet, and everybody's looking. And then he takes his money, and he ostentatiously puts it in the collection box. And the Lord Jesus said, he has received his reward. What did he want? He wanted to be seen of men, and he wanted to have glory of men. God said, I'm going to give it to you. Go ahead, put that money in. Blow the trumpet. Is everybody looking? Or they've looked at you. Now, put it in. And he put it in and meant it. Look at that generous Christian. What a wonderful man he is. And God said, that's all the reward that you get. You have received your reward. Now, here's another one. Never be ashamed to pray in public. You say, well, in a restaurant, I don't want people to see me. The Lord Jesus had 5,000 people to feed, and he stood up and he gave thanks to God. And so, do you think he did it to be seen of men? You say, no. He said, but there are some people that stand up in the synagogue, and when everybody's looking, and stand at the street corners, and when everybody is looking, then they lift their eyes to heaven, and with a religious attitude, start praying unto God. And the Lord Jesus says, they have received their reward. Isn't that a remarkable thing? He said, you can have it. You wanted glory of men in this life? He said, you may have it. You wanted to be seen of men? How religious, how ostentatious, how glorious, how praiseworthy you were because you're religious and you stand before the Lord Jesus said, you may have that. Fine. Take it. You may have it. He said, but you have nothing in heaven. Now, this is the saddest answer to a question that was never asked because it comes on the other side of the grave. Our Savior has told you 6 times that you can gain the whole world and lose your own soul. He tells you that this side of the grave. But it says that there was one of these men that had their reward in this life. It said there was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, who fared sumptuously every day, and he lived his whole life long that way. And it said he died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. But what about his clothing? What about his outward appearance? What about his possession? Let me tell you what happened to them. Immediately they were taken away from him because he has nothing, and he requests that Lazarus be sent to dip his finger in water and put it to his parched tongue because he's in torment in this flame. And in hell, God did not even give him 1 drop of water. And I want you to understand that. All of you who have your possession, you are rooted in this life. Not 1 penny of it can be transferred to the next world, and your influence immediately is terminated when you leave this world and go into the next. And that's why the Bible talks about having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Think of this. Here is Lazarus, this man who had suffered in this world, who had nothing. The dogs came and licked his sores. And yet when he died, it said he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And anything that his soul desired in heaven, because then his soul would desire only those things that were acceptable in God's sight, it would be given to him. And here is this man who had everything in life, but the moment he died, he had nothing, and he had no influence over anybody in heaven. And this is what Abraham told him. Think now. Here is Lazarus in Abraham's bosom, being comforted, being loved. And he said, Abraham, send Lazarus to dip his finger in water and touch it to my tongue. And Abraham said this, son, remember that you in your lifetime received good things. Did you hear that message? You in your lifetime receive good things. But now, there is today and there is tomorrow. And whatever you have today means nothing tomorrow. And you can cry out in heaven. Notice a prayer in heaven. I thought that God answered prayers. I thought certainly my great, 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 great grandfather, because here is one that is a descendant of Abraham. Certainly if I ask my grandfather in heaven to do something for me, he will do it. And your own grandfather, if he is in heaven, will say to you, I can do nothing for you. And I'm bringing to your remembrance that in life you had your good things you received in life. Now do you see why Christ said 6 times about possessions in this world and the next world? It says this, whoso loveth life, whoso findeth life, whoso saveth his life, shall lose it. Why? Because you wanted life in this world, and God gives it to you. But there is eternal life, and you have to sacrifice some things in this world to get life for the next world. What? Simply this. When you, as a free gift from God, receive eternal life, changes have to take place. You say, I can live as I please. I'll say, Jesus, I trust you because salvation is free. It says, by their fruits shall ye know them. There is dead faith and there is living faith. And unless there is a change in your life, the Lord Jesus does not expect people to believe that there is a change in your life. Let me show you that change immediately in Zacchaeus, who was up that tree, that little man. He was one who lived for money. And when he trusted Christ as Savior, he made this confession, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have wrongfully exacted aught of any man, I restore fourfold. And the Lord Jesus said, the day of salvation come to this house. Why? Because he gave all of those things? No. Because his heart had been changed. And as a proof of the change, he was prepared to give all these things to the poor, to those that he had wrongfully exacted. You say, why? It's because he had learned that the life that he had found was not satisfying, and the life that he found, he was prepared to lose it. The life that he loved, he was prepared to hate, and also the life that he had saved, he was prepared to lose it. Why? Because the Lord Jesus loved him, and he did not realize, being a tax collector that was despised of men, he did not realize that the Lord Jesus would love him. But the Lord Jesus did, and he manifested his acceptance of Christ's love in giving to the poor. And so, if you have everything, and you give it to God, that will not get you to heaven. But first, if you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, the manifestation of it will be what you do with what God has given you in this world. This is what he wants us to know. And so, for that reason, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You say, nothing. Let me give you the example now that the Savior repeats from Genesis chapter 19. Lot and Abraham had choices of a place to dwell on the earth. And Lot looked at the well-watered plain and he said, I'll take that. And Abraham said, you may have it. And Lot looked at the important cities of the world. And so he said, Sodom, that's an important city. And so he chose the well-watered plain and he chose Sodom. And suddenly he gets a message from angels that God graciously sent to him. And he says, up, get out of this city because God is going to destroy it. And Lot accepted that warning from God. And he went and told the men that were going to marry his daughters about it, and they laughed in his face. They thought he was mocking. God is going to destroy this city? What makes you think so? Everything looks all right to me. And he tried to tell his sons-in-law, but they would not listen to me. Now, thank God for the mercy and grace in the angels that he sent to bring them out of the city. And when the angels warned them, so little did they want to go, that it says the angels laid hold on the hands of Lot and of his wife and of his daughters, and they had to be dragged out of the city. And once the angels had dragged them out of the city, he said, escape for your life. Do not look back. And the Lord Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. Why? Because she loved life and it cost her her life. Even though the angel had physically taken her out, her heart was still bound up in Sodom. And when she turned back, God turned her to a pillar of salt. You say, how sad. Yes, he tells us that. He tells us about Lot's wife. He tells us about the rich man who had everything, but he did not repent. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes in torment, and he had nothing. So think of that. Satan says, I'll give you everything now. Put this condition in his gift to you. Do you guarantee that I will have it tomorrow? And he will say, I cannot guarantee that. Do you guarantee that it will give me permanent satisfaction? He'll say, I cannot guarantee that. Why? Because Solomon had all of these things, and read the book of Ecclesiastes, and you'll see how miserable the man was that had everything in life. You see, the heart cannot be filled, nor the ear, nor the eye. No matter how much gold you have, you'll want more. The eye sees, it wants more. The only thing that satisfies is an infinite God. And God can fill the heart, and God can satisfy the heart. And so what is profit? Profit is taking what God has given you in this world, and if he asks for it, give it back to him. And gain, permanent gain, is having Christ as your Savior, because he can satisfy, and he's the only one who can, because thank God for an answer that Peter gave. He said to his disciples, will you leave me and go away? Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we have believed and are sure that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That is something of permanence. That is something of infinite satisfaction. And it's something that shall never be taken away from you. Trust Christ as your Savior, and you'll know about profit and know nothing about loss. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you that your Son has explained to us about the gravity of life. Let us know how frivolous, with such levity, we go through life. And yet thy Son has told us the gravity of life. Please bring us to our senses. And even though the pleasures of sin are for a season, and you call them the pleasures of sin, let us remember that they are but a season. And let us remember Lot's wife. And let us remember what real estate we have in Sodom. And our Father, let us remember that all is gone when we're in hell, and there's nobody that can give us even a drop of water, whatever our possessions may have been. Let us remember that verse, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Help us, Father, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen.